in general, people who have more muscle will have less fat?
I think the short answer with a little asterisk caveat would be yes, only under the assumption that increasing skeletal muscle mass often increases RMR, RE, right? So, you know, quote unquote, faster metabolism if you have more muscle mass. I think it's a lot more nuanced and a lot more complex than that. But we did use RMR and RE as a metric in my dissertation project where we're looking at increases in hypertrophy training or skeletal muscle mass via hypertrophy training. And we did measure that, I guess I would say indirectly via RMR testing. And we did see everybody who, you know, increased in skeletal muscle mass also increased in RMR. Their RMR also increased. So short answer, yes. Long answer, it depends.
Hi, Antonella. Welcome to Athletes Strong Show. It's my pleasure to have you. Could you briefly introduce yourself?
Sure. Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm Antonella Schwarz. I'm a professor at Baylor University down in Miami Shores. I'm an avid lifter and runner. I love all things weightlifting, resistance training, muscles. I also love to run, which is kind of like a contradicting thing, right? Like lifting weights and running. I guess I'd consider myself kind of like the cliche hybrid athlete where I want to be really strong, but I also want to be kind of fast and have decent endurance. I run some marathons. I was a former bodybuilder, so I did compete in some bodybuilding way back when. And yeah, I just love all things skeletal muscle hypertrophy. And I say that my mantra is I used to be obsessed with how muscles looked on me, but now I'm obsessed with what muscles can do for me. So now I really don't care about, you know, I don't train to look good, which it's a nice byproduct, right? You train and you usually end up looking pretty good, but that's not the reason I train or I really think anybody should train, right? I train definitely more for like, what can my muscle do for me? How far can it take me? How fast can I run? How high can I jump? How much can I squat, deadlift, all that fun stuff. So it's been freeing. It's a freeing journey kind of learning about the science behind it all. And it's really my passion.
All right. We'll be talking about muscle research.
Yeah. I presented a poster on, it was called Muscle Wins Again, Examining the Relationship Between Maximal Strength and Body Composition Metrics. I presented that at the Greater New York Fall Meeting or the ACSM. One third place. Exciting. And basically, we looked at muscle-related metrics and fat-related metrics and how those stacked up against or correlated with maximal strength, right? And we found, to not really anybody's surprise, that the fat-related or the muscle-related metrics were stronger predictors of maximal strength, which is pretty in line with all the research and the data that exists out there on body comp and maximal strength, especially specifically in powerlifting. But this was not amongst powerlifters. And that's pretty neat, right? And so I thought that, one, it lines up with kind of what's already out there. And two, it really emphasizes and drives home the point of like, hey, let's stop hyper-fixating on, you know, fat-related metrics. And how about we start kind of thinking more about these muscle-related metrics, right? Not just for athletes, but for general population, which is kind of like the drive home point of the meeting up in New York was, hey, how can we kind of use exercise as quote-unquote medicine or, you know, implement this into not just a sports setting, but a general population setting. And so that was kind of the point of this is, hey, like muscle matters for not just athletes, but for the general population as well.
This is so true. So let's backpedal a little bit and talk a little bit on how strength matters. So muscle matters, but why? Why strength and why body composition? Why these three things matter?
Yeah, body comp really gives us a good insight into someone's strength profile, right? Without having to, which we saw from this paper, without having to directly one rep max test them, because you can't one rep max test everybody to evaluate their strength. And we know that one rep max testing is, I guess, kind of the gold standard for strength or these a performance assessment of strength. And so we can't do that with everybody. So can we evaluate strength via some of these indexes that already exist, right? Like free fat mass index, skeletal muscle quality, and even skeletal muscle estimation without like a total non-invasive way to measure or to estimate skeletal muscle. And so we know that this is important because as we age, right, we start to run into issues with sarcopenia, osteoporosis, whether you're an athlete or not, right? This is definitely speaking more towards the general population. I mean, if we can assess something as simple as, hey, let's get your free fat mass index or let's get your skeletal muscle estimation, SMQ, and we can note trends or changes in, you know, people's potential strength and muscle mass decreasing, we can address these things, get ahead of them before they create issues in the long run, right? And so, hey, we're noticing that your FFMI is declining or your skeletal muscle estimation is declining. declining. Again, these are non-invasive assessments, which are useful, accessible for all clinicians, physicians, whatever the case might be. If we can notice these trends and get ahead of them, I mean, we can help somebody long-term, right? Like, hey, it can be as simple as, do you resistance train? No? Okay, this is why it's important. It's accessible. It's a non-pharmacological way to increase gut muscle mass, which we know is going to waste away over time. So let's kind of, you know, add that on just to increase your health and, you know, decrease, you know, potential diabetes, cardiovascular disease, metabolic issues. I think that's why I'm fascinated with skeletal muscle mass or skeletal muscle is that, like, wow, it can really dictate the quality of your life.
Yeah.
You know, how much you have of it or how much you don't have of it. So, yeah.
So important. Now, are we ready to look into your study? So,
sure.
Awesome. So let's go into it and please tell us, who did you recruit? What the procedures were? What were you trying to find out?
Yeah. So we recruited 20 or we recruited a bunch of males. Actually, we recruited 20 males. We used 20 males for the study. All males, biological male, college aged. They had to, if I can remember the exact criteria, it's been a little bit. We had strength criteria, right? So they had to have previously been trained. I believe the squat and deadlift were 1.25 their body weight, and then the bench was 0.75 their body weight. So they had to have some kind of relative strength measures, previously trained for at least 1 year, regularly training these movements. And we wanted to access at all of them. And we also did their succumbent abod pod and got some of these certain measurements, as well as circumference indexes. And again, the equations like skeletal muscle quality and the indexes like free fat mass, BMI, to basically figure out these numbers. We ran a bunch of correlations and we looked at, hey, what is correlated and what's not? And then we kind of categorized it like fat-related metrics and muscle-related metrics and which ones are better or stronger indicators of strength, right? Like, so what? Pound for pound, right? Who's stronger? And do these metrics tell us the same story? And we found that, I don't think, at least us people who love muscle and research and not anybody surprised, the muscle-related metrics were stronger predictors of maximal strength. But I think, I guess in sport and in maybe in like powerlifting and like muscle research, it's not that surprising, but I think it's very useful and kind of beefs up the argument of for the general population, how important muscle mass is and how important it is to evaluate it, as well as some of these fat-related metrics. But I feel like in healthcare, in patient, like for personal trainers or coaches, sometimes we tend to hyperfixate on fat-related metrics and body fat percentage and decreasing this stuff. And it's going to make you a better performer, better athlete, when that's maybe not always the case, right? I think we sometimes fail to look at skeletal muscle quality or how much muscle does somebody have? Do they have enough? And focusing on that instead of focusing on the fat mass.
How are you improving muscle mass versus reducing fat tissue? You know, what is more worth? Because I can't be on both. I can't be building muscles religiously and fat religiously at the same time. I can't do it. I just, should I be choosing more into muscle or more into reducing fat? What would be, in terms of your general population, what would be better?
Yeah, I think it's a testament to like psychology and the way people function and behavior change, where if you tell someone, no, 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 take away, stop, less, that is a lot harder for somebody to comprehend and grasp a concept and achieve a goal. I think potentially taking the stance of, hey, more, but it doesn't mean like more food. It just means like, hey, let's add this to your life instead of like, let's take away this food. How about you stop eating this and eat less of this versus kind of like reshift that and reframe how we help people and athletes and like general population. Like, hey, how about we add more protein to your diet, right? Like instead of, hey, let's take away, you know, candy and all this other crazy stuff that people want to argue is, you know, horrible for you, which I'm sure to an extent it is, but how about we evaluate how much protein are you consuming, right? Like, should we add more of that? And instead of focusing on what we can take out, how about we focus on what we can add in? And then sometimes as a byproduct of that, I think the stuff that you ideally would want to take out starts to fall out on its own. Like if people fill up on protein more, if they fill up on, you know, resistance training more often, right? How can we add exercise into your regimen, into your life? How can we increase skeletal muscle mass and focus on that instead of focusing on decreasing fat mass? You know, I think that is a lot more conducive to real behavior change long-term, right? So, hey, let's add this to your life instead of let's take this away from your life. And I think people are a lot more motivated by that and can kind of see and learn and kind of like get on board with you and your training philosophy, however, you know, coach wants to approach that. anybody wants to approach that. Yeah. Just kind of adding to people's life instead of taking it away, I think is the stronger and better approach. And then I think the stuff that you would want them to lose, like the body fat and maybe these nutrition behaviors, I think that kind of just sometimes adjusts on its own. If you're, hey, I'm filling up on protein more, I'm, you know, reaching for this less, or hey, I'm adding resistance training to my life more, I'm spending less time on the couch, or, you know, so I don't know. I think maybe reshifting our focus to, hey, let's focus on how can we add to people's life and enrich people's lives instead of like, you know, take things away from them. And so I think that is, at least in my head, that's kind of what I feel like would be a decent approach to take.
So, sounds good. Would you say in general, people who have more muscle will have less fat?
I think the short answer with a little asterisk caveat would be yes, only under the assumption that increasing skeletal muscle mass often increases RMR, RE, right? So, you know, quote unquote, faster metabolism if you have more muscle mass. I think it's a lot more nuanced and a lot more complex than that. But we did use RMR, RE as a metric in my dissertation project where we're looking at increases in hypertrophy trainings or skeletal muscle mass via hypertrophy training. And we did measure that, I guess I would say, indirectly via RMR testing. And we did see everybody who, you know, increased in skeletal muscle mass also increased in RMR. The other RMR also increased. So short answer, yes. Long answer, it depends.
Well, if the person starts training harder and builds on or training specifically hypertrophy, but they also increase how much they eat and they increase how much they eat more than they end up expanding, that the balance may not change the fat tissue, but it is harder to be very, very overweight or obese when moving a lot and building muscle and so on. So
definitely. Yeah. I think, yeah.
The
yeah.
question came from.
Yeah.
So what had he found?
So basically we found that these like muscle wins again, right? So muscle or how much muscle, the quality of your muscle, these muscle related indexes and metrics do tell us more about how strong someone might be. Things like skeletal muscle. So the index, like the free fat mass index, that really easy to use, and skeletal muscle quality are more indicative of, hey, you are stronger, versus looking at something like BMI or body fat percentage. And I think like the overall kind of driving home point of that is that like there's such a lack of meaningful relationship between fat mass and body fat percentage and maximal strength. And this like challenges the conventional assumptions that reducing fat directly enhances athletic performance or strength, right? So focusing more on these fat related metrics for performance measurements and tracking performance is a lot more accurate than focusing on something like body fat or BMI, especially in athletes. And I think that spills over into the general population as well. Like we already kind of talked about assessing those instead of hyperfixating on BMI. When I presented this in New York, one of the driving home points were like, we're so quick to like, oh, you have a low BMI, great, you're healthy, good to go. But what about skeletal muscle quality, right? Like too low of a BMI with no muscle. I mean, what happens once you start aging, right? I mean, I always say, I said this in my class the other day, is increasing muscle mass is like hedging your bets on life, right? Eventually we're all gonna, sad truth, but we're all gonna waste away, right? Our muscle's gonna decrease, our bones are gonna brittle out. But the same people, one person strength trains and has, you know, X times more muscle at the same age or the same time point in their life, like who would potentially live longer, right? Who's gonna waste away slower? And so I think that is really like the big message or the big idea, like my big like philosophy is like everybody should try to be putting on some kind of muscle, because that is really what is going to keep you alive longer. So
I think I read a study about Olympic weightlifters, masters Olympic weightlifters, so Olympic weightlifters who compete in masters world championships, and at the age of 80 they were performing in terms of grip strength, I think, at the level of 65 year old.
That's awesome.
Control, so it's 20 what 85 65 that was like 20 almost 20 years advantage, I guess, 20 years younger in terms of,
yeah, it's like the fountain of youth.
This is huge. This is,
yeah,
like muscle changes life. And these are people, right, who are traveling abroad to compete in a sport.
Yeah, right. And so that, I think, is, I mean, not even talking about performance at this point now, it's really, again, just longevity and long, joyful life. Like if you have the grip strength of a 65-year-old who lives independently at the age of 80, I mean, you're living independently at the age of 80. Like how empowering is that? Like you don't need to be, you know, being assisted 24/7, or, you know, your age is not holding you back at 80 years old, which is awesome. I mean, that's the goal of life. right? Live and not just be alive, but actually live and do things. And so I think a lot of people, I know, like my friends and stuff, like, oh, you're obsessed with weightlifting and you're obsessed with weights and muscles. And it's totally not like vain. I'm just so fascinated by the idea that something as simple as like you lift an iron barbell and that can add time to your lifespan, right? And like the ability to do things, it's fascinating. And that is, I think, what like fuels me. Like, that's why I love to train. And I think I like live to make that connection for people, because when it clicks, it, you no longer like need motivation. You just kind of know, like, this is like the key to, like, this is the fountain of youth, right? So I think that's how this is. I'm going off totally off topic, but this is how I got into like teaching in academia, is like, wow, if only people could just like know the foundation of it. I think that is like, it just clicks in your head and you're like, wow, this is cool. Instead of just like, oh, I got to work out so I can live a healthy life and it's a chore. I mean, there's just so much to it. And it's relatively accessible, right? You just need something heavy to lift. It could be a backpack, a jug of milk, your body weight. And so I think, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer, but you just got to get that across to everyone. Like, sell it. It's like a salesman sometimes, like, you should lift weights. That's all my family all the time. Like, you should lift weights. You should lift weights. They think I'm crazy sometimes.
I think it's kind of understandable that the big focus and messaging was around the losing fat. So the more muscle is pretty new. It's maybe last 10 years where the race is going across. It will take time. It takes an average, I think, 17 years to get from a research literature to practitioners and then to public. It's just, you know, one-on-one basis, usually working with health and fitness professionals or strength trainers or PTs. So it will take time, but we can speed it. Let's speed it up.
I know. That's the goal. That's definitely the goal. And that's definitely, I think, how I got into teaching academia, because I was working with teams and athletes and people. And I just felt like I spent so much time during our sessions, like, explaining why. Because I'm like, this is why it's so important. And like, it finally clicks and you just get incredible buy-in. And I was like, wow, like, I could talk about this all day. And so that's kind of how I got into it all. But yeah, I agree. It takes time, but I think that's why you talk about it. That's why you do podcasts, and people just need to hear it, because it's huge and totally accessible and simple. Simple way to just increase your lifespan and quality of life.
That's so true. All right. I think we're ready to go into what it all means for coaches.
I think the message that I would like to kind of put out there is that it's time to stop hyperfixating on these fat-related metrics and start fixating on the muscle-related metrics and really targeting that, because fat-related metrics increasing, decreasing, body fat wasn't very strongly correlated with strength, and maximal strength didn't tell us a lot about someone's strength profiles like muscle did. So tracking something like muscle mass gives us a way better idea of performance standards, like where somebody's at, if their performance is increasing, decreasing, versus tracking body fat. So that is a good point, as well as utilizing some of these super simple metrics like free fat mass index, skeletal muscle quality, skeletal muscle estimation, which I'm happy to send out the equations in my Excel sheets to people. Plug and chug for your athletes. These are really cool resources. Don't cost a thing, non-invasive, and just more data, right? To look at, to track, look at trends. Maybe you do preseason, postseason evaluations. You plug some numbers in, you can get these numbers that are validated via like research. And some of the best researchers in the world who look at body composition have come up with these equations. And so I think it's really cool to utilize. And you don't need fancy equipment like a bod pod or, you know, investing in these devices. It's great if you can, but not every school has access to that, or every coach or every gym. So I don't know, having another way to assess muscle for your athletes is, I think, crucial, and kind of shows that you really care if you have these numbers and spreadsheets and can track what's going on. Yeah, utilize them, because they tell us a lot more than just like, hey, go get your body fat measure, go get your body fat measured, or like, let me pinch you with the skin calipers. Like, that tells us a lot less than looking at muscle. So
I think even in the context of losing weight, broadly speaking, but fat in particular, the athlete may end up, or the client may end up not losing weight per se during, I don't know, 8 weeks of strength training block or hypertrophy block. But if you can show them explicitly, this is how much muscle you have built, keeping the fat percentage or fat mass the same, this is a gain, regardless of the fact that you didn't lose weight,
right? Like, regardless of body,
you build muscle, so it's kind of expected and makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it a lot in like high school or like other small college programs where the coaches are so hyper fixated on like these athletes need to get leaner and leaner means stronger and faster and better athletes. And that's not always the case. And like if they've had a really good off season where they're training, lifting heavy, and then they come back and they're a couple pounds heavier, I mean, sometimes coaches just don't know or realize and they think like, oh my God, this person's heavier. They came back deconditioned, untrained. They weren't doing anything or whatever the case might be. And they're like, tell the strength coaches, like, they've got to lose weight. I got to get this team back together. And that's not always the case. And so I think this is a good advocate for these athletes, like focusing way less on what does the scale say? How much do I weigh versus what is the quality of my weight, right? Like, is my weight made up of a decent amount of skeletal muscle mass? That's what we want to know. And that's what we hope is the case. And so increasing that versus, you know, always focused on the fat and is just a lot more useful. And based off of the research, it tells us a lot more about strength and performance. And if that's what we care about, that's what we should care about, not what they look like, right?
So. And you can see in powerlifters, many powerlifters are not the leanest athletes. And it doesn't take away from the amazing performance. So
100%. I mean, we saw it in the Olympics. Yeah, we saw in the Olympics, like all the different body types and shapes. And right, I mean, people are strong and that's what you want. You're not too concerned about, you know, body fat percentage to an extent, of course. But I mean, we should for sure be tracking muscle mass and free fat mass and plug you into these indexes, even just getting estimations if we can't directly measure muscle. And that would tell us a lot more about someone as an athlete versus, you know, body fat percentage. Because that looks different amongst all athletes at all levels, elite, non-elite, whatever the case might be. So yeah.
Awesome. What do you think is important and what do you want people to get from you? I think it's pretty clear from what I heard today that muscle is important for strength and performance. It is important for aging. It is more important that fat in terms of metrics we should be paying attention to through the lifespan or career span of an athlete or lifespan of, yeah, of a person, aging person, for example. What else? These are the main points I learned from you today.
Yeah, I think, yeah, my key takeaways I wrote down were muscle-related variables outperform fat-related variables, which is what you just said, right? Like muscle, we should be focusing on that versus fat, not exclusively, but shifting our focus. These metrics like SMQ, FFMI, SME, where they're non-invasive, they're free. Coaches should be implementing this stuff and tracking what's going on. They can give us a really good idea of performance and where people are at, if they're increasing, decreasing, what does that kind of look like, why, making assessments and choices for programming based off of that. And then just a shift towards muscle-centric health assessments in athletics and also in general population. That's really the main focus here.
Awesome. Two short questions to finish. The first one is, what is your favorite lift?
Oh, that's hard. I love them all. I would say my favorite lift is a good old squat clean or even just a power clean. Any variation of the clean, I love a good clean. Yeah.
Why is that?
Something about just like the explosiveness involved, the technicality involved, and you just feel like a badass when you do it in the gym and you max out or you are hitting PRs or you're taking something for reps that you normally wouldn't. There's just something about it. There's nothing like it. I think it's so unique and I just love a good clean.
Awesome. And the last question, where people can find you online if they want to follow your research or follow your work or ask a question?
Yeah. They can find me on Instagram, dr.antonella.schwarz. I have a LinkedIn. I'm not the most active on there, but I do have a LinkedIn and I do go on there. I look at a lot of things. I should post more, but I don't. I think it's just Antonella Schwarz on LinkedIn. And that's the extent of my social media right now. Instagram and LinkedIn. And I mean, they can email me at aschwarz@berry.edu. That's my school email. Again, I'm happy to send out any of these equations that people can use, plug and chug for their athletes or answer any questions, get in touch, talk all things muscle and lifting, running research.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Antonella. It was my pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.